You're listening to the Texas Standard.
Let me mention a few names. Cactus Jack Garner, Barbara Jordan, Sam Rayburn. What about Lyndon Baines Johnson? All lionized by history as political giants on the national stage from Texas. But you know, the parade of names often leaves someone important out. That may be rectified by a new book called The Meanest Man in Congress, Jack Brooks and the Making of an American Century. Co-authors are Timothy McNulty and Brendan McNulty. Brendan joins us now on the Texas Standard. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Why did you and your father think this such an important story to tell? Because after all, after Jack Brooks lost his re-election in 1995, I guess it was, four or five, a lot of people sort of fell off the national radar screen, if you will.
Well, that was the exact impetus for the story. Is, you know, people needed to know about Jack Brooks. He had such an impactful career in the U.S. legislature that we felt that this story was too good and too significant for the, you know, the historical record and the public discourse to go undocumented.
Jack Brooks came out of the Golden Triangle, as we call it here in Texas, out of East Texas, Beaumont area. If you look back at the obituary that the New York Times did back in 2012, Brooks was described as irascible, cigar-chomping, sort of larger-than-life Texas congressman, who most notably, I think, at least in the eyes of the Times editors, saw him as a person willing to defy fellow Southerners to support civil rights.
Yeah, he was absolutely fearless in terms of, you know, political reprisals, from taking stances that were not yet in vogue, from such a, you know, diverse district that he represented back in the early 50s. You know, he knew that he was on the right side of history with integration and with the civil rights legislation. Even though I think he was one of three or four Southern Democrats who chose not to sign on to the Southerners Manifesto, mm-hmm. which was this, you know, rebuttal to the Brown v. Board of Education decision in 54.
Right.
And that took, I mean, he was a young congressman at that point, you know, and that he had just come to office, and that took incredible courage to be able to say, you know, this is not right. This is not what I stand for. This is not what my district stands for.
You know, there's a picture, a historic picture. I know you're familiar with it, but maybe listeners who are trying to sort of place Jack Brooks in their own minds might reference that famous picture from Air Force One. Kennedy had just been assassinated, and there was Lyndon Baines Johnson taking the oath of office with a already grieving Jacqueline Kennedy at his side, and just over Jackie's shoulder, there stands Jack Brooks.
Absolutely. I mean, the you know, stories that go into that picture are just fascinating. But it's no accident that Jack Brooks was in that shot, you know, very deliberately. And he was the one who told Lyndon Johnson, take the oath right now. You know, we can't wait the 4 or 5 hours to get back to Washington, D.C. and not have a commander in chief.
Nixon called him the executioner. This because of his leading role, I guess it would be, on the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, for such a serious responsibility that Congress has to potentially impeach presidents who are unfit for office, he said, you know, don't worry about the press, worry about the process. You know, this man is a crook, and he's abused his office. He's gone against the oath that he took. He needs to be removed, and we need to take actual concrete steps to remove him. So after 4 or 5 months of essentially inaction, he said, okay, I'm going to write the articles of impeachment myself. Me, you know, my staff and I are going to draft them up, and we're going to distribute them. And that really got the ball rolling.
In many respects, and you use the phrase, you know, being on the right side of history, you might say that you look back at the career of Jack Brooks, and he arguably was on the right side of history in many, many chapters. And yet, let's get back to this title, The Meanest Man in Congress. What made him so mean?
How much time do we have? Nobody wanted to be on the opposing side of Jack Brooks in a legislative or political fight. I mean, he was tough as nails. He knew the law. He knew congressional prerogatives inside and out. Nobody wanted to go up against him. And those that did lost big. Every single president, Democratic or Republican, that went up against him lost big.
What accounts for the fact that even today there are a lot of people who would have to read up on Jack Brooks to learn about the man?
The people that, common, just everyday guy on the street, the people that he knows, people who are famous for being congressmen, they have one very overarching trait, and that's that they love to talk. And Jack Brooks loved to do. I mean, he was an incredibly prolific, I would say the most effective legislator of all time, of our time, in terms of passing legislation. He didn't just vote the Democratic Party line. And, he didn't just trade votes with Republicans either. He had a very specific vision for what the federal government should do and how it should operate. And I think if we had more Jack Brooks, we would have, I think, a lot more common sense bills, coming down the pike.
Brendan McNulty is the co-author of a new biography of Jack Brooks, along with his dad, Timothy. It's called The Meanest Man in Congress, Jack Brooks and the Making of an American Century. Brendan, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on the Texas Standard.
I appreciate it.